Who are you? We're going to start a new series today. It's going to be a four-part series. And the name of the series is, Who Do You Think You Are? You ever had anyone say that to you before? Who do you think you are? Well, I know sometimes people say that to us, and they say it with a little bit of attitude, don't they? And it's not necessarily said in a nice way, but I don't mean it in a wrong way today. But I want to ask you, who do you think you are? It's important that you know who you are. Amen. It is so important. We're going to help you see the importance of having a God-centered in Christ identity today. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so important. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, For in him we live and move and exist. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. We got kids we got to let see. I'm not used to that. I'm ready. When we have kids checking, we won't have to do this, right? Kids, teachers, go to the door. See, Pastor Phil, he's sitting over here. He's probably thinking, the kid doesn't know what he's doing. He should have dismissed the kids. But see, I'm not used to doing this. So teachers at the door, children, follow them quietly and respectfully, as we know you always do. Amen. You guys have a great time. You guys got to help the new kid out, all right? So Acts chapter 17, verse 28, that's what I was talking about. In him, for in him we live and move and exist. That is our life as Christians. That is That's where we're at. That's what our life is supposed to be. We live in him. We are in Christ. Amen. We move in Christ. We exist because of him. Glory to God. You know, we have many rights and privileges and opportunities as citizens of this wonderful country that we live in, the United States of America. But in Christ, we have many higher rights and privileges and many greater opportunities that many people are living far below what is available to them. Too many Christians are living below what is available to them because they have an identity crisis. So we want to help you get rid of your identity crisis if you have one of those today. Amen? So that's what we're going to be talking about these next few services. You see, too many Christians don't really know who they are. And many times when we hear the title of this message spoken to us, we're being challenged. And we can become defensive. Some might say, you know, when you say, who are you? Some might say, well, I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm victorious. Someone else might say, I'm broke. I'm sick. I'm overwhelmed. Okay? But you have to understand that in answering this question, who are you, or who do you think you are, we are defining who we are and how we're going to live in this life. We are defining who we are. The words that come out of our mouth is so important because we're defining our very lives. Our answer to the question really establishes our parameters, the parameters that we're going to live inside of. Are you going to live a small, limited, contained life? Or are we going to live a wide, expansive, ever-growing life? Okay? God wants us to experience the latter. So our answer establishes our borders. It establishes our potential. So we need to answer the question correctly. In him, we live and move and exist. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. It says, So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. The Amplified Bible says it this way. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. Why? Why shouldn't we regard anyone from a purely human point of view any longer? Because in him we live and move and exist. Amen? It talks about who we are, being in Christ. We're saved because when we are in Christ, we have a new identity, thank God. Now, the world and other people in your life, your past experiences have created an identity and have helped establish your identity. And we are, unfortunately, judged by our identity that is established, and we live from that identity. Okay? And so we want to break through this today. Good, bad, or indifferent, you and I live our lives from that place. We live our lives from that identity that we have based on what people have said to us, said about us, what we have said about ourselves, how we've viewed ourselves, things that we've done in the past. But once we give our life to Christ, we're no longer supposed to identify ourselves according to a human value or standard, because those standards pale in comparison to a new and living standard that God has provided for each one of us in Christ. Amen. We've been called to a new way. Amen. Many good born-again people live their lives from a strictly human point of view. And so we've got to break out of that. We've got to quit living from this human point of view. Many people, just like you and I, are living way below their rights, solely from a human point of view. But there is a new identity God has for each of his children in Christ, and it's crucial that we discover and walk in our newfound identity. So I want to help you discover what God's done for you, how he sees you, and what his attitude is towards you. You know how other people see you. You know how you see yourself. You know what your attitude about yourself is. You know what, maybe unfortunately know what other people's attitude about you is. But I want you to know how God sees you today. I want you to know what his attitude is towards you today. And he sees you, I'm telling you, I know you have faults, and I have faults too. I was just talking with someone just the other day that, we have issues. We all have issues. We're all working through something. We all have things that we're working on. We all have imperfections. We all have sin. Right? Like Paul said, I'm a chief sinner. The guy that wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament said, I'm the chief sinner. He recognized that, hey, I've got things I'm dealing with, man. And for me to stand here and pretend that I don't have anything I'm dealing with and that I'm perfect and I'm okay because I'm a pastor, that would be lying. And I'm not going to try to deceive you like that. I've always been a very transparent pastor. If you ask my wife, sometimes she says I'm a little too transparent. She said, I'll meet someone, I'll start talking to them. Next thing you know, I've told them half my life story. And it's like, I think maybe you told them a little too much information. But that's, that's it. My life's pretty much an open book. And that doesn't mean I'm going to tell you every little thing about myself. And I really go out of my way not to tell you every little thing about my wife, because she wouldn't appreciate that any more than your spouse would appreciate that, right? But we're not perfect. We're working through stuff, okay? But even though we're working through stuff, even though we have things in our life, God sees you. God doesn't see you the way you see yourself. He sees you in Christ, because in him we live and move and exist. He sees you. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he sees you washed in the blood of Jesus. He sees you a brand new creature, a brand new creation, the Bible says. That's how God sees you. So yeah, I know you're messed up in some areas. I'm messed up in some areas. We're working on some stuff. But that's not how God sees us. He sees us holy. He sees us blameless. He sees us, under the blood of Jesus. He sees us in a completely different way than we see ourselves. And his attitude about us, he has a good attitude about us. He loves you, man, and he is for you. And I want you to know that if God is for you, I am for you. And if there's one thing I've become as I've gotten older and older, I've become less judgmental. And my goal is to not be judgmental at all. Why? Because the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. So I don't want to be judgmental at all. But we have a tendency to become judgmental. But as I get older, I'm less and less. I'm less judgmental. Why? Because I see how I'm 54 years old now. I know that's young to half of you around here. So many people in the church, I'm still young enough to be your kid, and that's okay. But I'm 54 years old, and I'm thinking I still need God's mercy. Huh? Anyone else here still need his mercy? I still need his mercy at 54. I entered the full-time ministry in 1990. It's 2017. And I still need his mercy. So if I still need his mercy, guess what I've learned? I need to cut you some slack. Huh? I need to touch you some flat. I'm not going to call over your case because you got sin in your life. Why? Because I'm still working on stuff. If I've been in full-time ministry since 1990 and I'm still working on stuff, how can I expect you to be perfect? We just got to be truthful with one another. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And you know what? It's okay because God didn't call us to be perfect. He called us into a glorious relationship where we are forever in this life working out our salvation. But none of us in this life are ever going to reach the point where we've arrived. So we might as well just get used to it. And you know I've got baggage. I've got issues. You got baggage. You got issues. But you know what? We can come together, united around God's purpose, united around His vision, and we can work together and appreciate what God has put in each one of us, what He has bestowed upon each one of us, the giftings that He has within each one of us, and we can come together and we can do something great with God in spite of our imperfections. Amen? I don't know about you, but that excites me. It excites me that God has been using me for all these years, even though I'm not perfect. So if God's been using me, I know He can use you, and He has been using you. But I know He can continue to use you, and He can take you to greater heights, and He can take you to new places and new levels in spite of yourself, because He's been doing it with me in spite of myself. Amen? So that's good news for us today, isn't it? It's good news. So I want to help you discover what God's done for you, how He sees you, and what His attitude is towards you. It will absolutely destroy every limitation and small-minded thing that has kept you captive and living way beneath where you should be living. And that's God's will for us today, amen? When we base our identity on a human point of view, we will come up short every time. We will never rise above that identity. When we keep seeing ourselves in the flesh from a human point of view, you will never rise above that. It's like that ceiling. It's like a ceiling. You just can't, you know, you keep hitting up against it, and you're never going to break through it. Until you have a new identity, until you see yourself in a new and different way. You'll come to the ceiling of that identity and you'll stop. You might want to go higher. You might long to go higher. You might have heard that you could go higher. I'm telling you this morning you can go higher. You might have seen your friends and family go higher, but you're stuck. And you will be stuck because you're hitting the ceiling of your identity until you change your identity, until you get a new identity. Amen? But if you base your identity on what God's Word says about you, then nothing in the natural can limit you ever again. I like that. I like being limitless. Amen. And life in God is limitless. When we have our eyes on Him and what He's done for us and what He's done in us instead of our eyes on ourselves. Amen. We'll be able to overcome any adversity that tries to hinder us from God's highest and best. So as we get into this series, we're going to talk a little bit about labels. How many are familiar with labels? You know, Attila the Hun, right? That's a label. Conan the Barbarian. That was one of my favorite movies back in 1980-something when I was a backslidden Christian. You know, I liked swords and stuff, you know. But Conan the Barbarian, Billy the Kid, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Huh? And for those of you that have little ones, Jake the Pirate. Anyone know Jake the Pirate? Okay, one person in the whole church knows Jake the Pirate. First time I heard someone mention Jake the Pirate is Pastor Del Turco at IFC. He was talking about Jake the Pirate. I'm thinking, he's got grandkids, man. He's got grandkids. My kids are grown, and my kids miss Jake the Pirate. But I found out about Jake the Pirate through Pastor Jonathan. So anyways, right or wrong, people, we have labels, and people are often known by what they do. Tiger Woods, best golfer in the world at one point. Until he did some things that gave him some new, less flattering labels. And that was unfortunate. Oftentimes people receive labels because of their crimes or their failures. We know Benedict Arnold. We know, how about in the church world, Doubting Thomas. Think about that. That one moment of doubt in Thomas's life, and he's forever labeled Doubting Thomas. How would you like to be labeled for one time in your life you doubted the Lord? Huh? Oh, Lori doubted God one time, doubting Lori. That's it, man, for the rest of eternity. The church is going to be talking and preaching about doubting Lori. Poor Thomas. That's the name he ended up with, amen? That's the label that he received that people gave him. Labels come to us in many different ways. Some of them are based on gender, disability, physical appearance, personality, positive or negative, sexual orientation, ethnicity, habits, family history. We have all kinds of labels, many ways to receive a label, good and bad. A few more labels that you're familiar with, party animal. Don't tell me if that was your label, okay? Hopefully it's not your label today. Unless it's a Holy Ghost party, that's all right. Party animal, hothead. Anyone know any hotheads? Maybe used to be a hothead. Drama queen, tightwad. Anyone recognize any of these things, or am I speaking too old? Irresponsible, mental case, sinner. Oh, that's a big one in the church. Don't get me started on that, man. Oh, pastor, we're all sinners. No. Sorry, not buying that. That's a religious lie I heard for too many years. Yeah, we've all sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. But while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You're no longer a sinner. You may still sin. I know you still sin. I still sin too. But that's no longer my identity. I am no longer a sinner. I'm a believer in Christ, and sometimes I fall and sometimes I sin. But I'm not a sinner. See, if you identify with being a sinner, what are you going to do every day? You're going to sin. Why? Because that's who you see yourself as. You just start seeing yourself as a new creation in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God in Christ is how we need to see ourselves. You start getting a revelation of that identity, and you'll find yourself sinning less. You keep calling yourself sinner, and don't be surprised when you keep sinning. Okay? But that's a label. Control freak. Ladies man. Or how about player? They're a player. Some of those labels we've earned. I get it. And some have been given to us by others. And some have been given to us unjustly. But you need to know, no matter what you've done, God's power is big enough to change you. And that's the good news today. Amen. Regardless of what labels you've had stuck on your back, whether you gave it yourself or earned them or whether someone gave them to you, you know, no sin is too big for God's grace. No sin is too big for God's grace. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. And obviously God doesn't care what you've done either, because his blood washed it away. You can't sin too big for, I know the blood of Jesus cleanses us, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Oh, then you're belittling the blood of Jesus. You're saying that blood wasn't enough to cleanse you. Don't tell me how big your sin is. I'll tell you how big your God is. And God's bigger than your sin. Amen? He's bigger than your sin. No sin is too big for God's grace. No habit is too big for God's deliverance. Are you hearing me? No habit is too big for God's deliverance, and no label is too strong for God's love to rewrite. I like it when God rewrites our labels. Yeah, he used to be that, but now he's this. She used to be that, but now she's this. You can get new labels, amen? New labels. God's power is bigger than your past. You know, I heard a pastor friend of mine, we were at a meeting one time, a pastor's friend of mine, now he's an awesome guy. He came out of a rough life on the streets, man. He was a gangbanger, and he's done all kinds of things. And he said, you know, we're in this pastor's meeting. He was saying, you know, I often feel like I don't belong in this pastor's meeting. He said, you know, I've got so much shame in my life from what I did in my past, and I just don't feel like I belong here with these other men of God, these other pastors. I just feel like I'm inadequate, like I'm not enough, like I, you know, because I have so much shame. And I turned to him and I said, man, don't kid yourself. We all have shame. Now, my shame might not be your shame. I mean, I might not have done the things that you did. I'm not a gangbanger, you know. I'm not, I haven't lived the life that he lived. I'm not going to pretend that I did. I've never done drugs. I've never, you know, I haven't done any of the things he's done. I don't have a violent past. But I said, man, we all got shame. My shame is just different than your shame. The good news is Jesus took care of all of our shame. Amen. So don't be thinking you're inadequate because I got so much shame. No, that just speaks to how amazing the love and the grace of God is. That no matter what you've done, man, God's grace is sufficient for you. But we all have shame. So don't look at people, don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, you know, look at all these wonderful spiritual people, but you got, man, that stuff that you did, that's, oh, man, you ought to be ashamed. No, we all have something, man. We all have stuff that we've done in our past that we could be ashamed of, and many of us, unfortunately, still are ashamed of, but when you realize that Jesus He bore your shames. Huh? He bore your shame so that you don't have to be ashamed anymore of what you did. God's power is rooted in His love for you. It's not rooted in being mean or angry or ugly. That's not who God is. That's not what God is bringing you today. It's His love. His power is rooted in His love for you. So He uses His power to help us, not to destroy us. And thank God He does, or none of us would be here today. God knows who you really are, no matter what all the other labels say about you or how you label yourself. I like that. What's true about you now doesn't have to be true about you later. It can change. Amen. You're not yet who you are supposed to be. Glory to God. Don't believe the lie that you'll never break free from who you are or the labels that you wear. Whether you love who you are today or hate who you are today, you're a work in progress. We all are. Amen. And so we're all in this together. Where you are now is not where you're going to be later. God wants to take us all, whether you like yourself or not, He wants to take us all to new heights. And He's able to do that if we'll align our thinking with His and align our identity with His identity of us. Amen? Amen. The goal here is not to make you a perfect person, because none of us are and none of us ever will be in this life. But often, you know, we put pressure on one another. We put pressure on one another to be perfect. But this is not about perfection. Okay? This is about striving. This is not about striving in your human self to be perfect. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about seeing yourself different. We're allowing God to do an extreme makeover by uncovering your true self, who you have already become. See, we're not talking about you becoming someone different. We're talking about uncovering who you've already become in Christ. If you've come into the family, if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you are already this new person. You are already this person with new labels, with new destiny, with new identity. It's just that so many people don't realize who they really are. Because they're still looking at themselves in the flesh. They're still looking at themselves from a human point of view instead of looking at what God has done on the inside of you. We want to uncover what God has done on the inside of you and bring that to the outside so you can begin to walk in that and not keep walking according to what we see with our human eyes. Amen? It's a discovery process of what God has done in us through Christ. Although we live in this world, we're not of this world, and our lives should not reflect this world, but they should reflect the kingdom of God and our ultimate destination. Amen? We're no longer a collection of labels glued together by our acceptance of other people's perceptions. That's too heavy. God never intended for you to bear that, never intended for you to live with that. God never intended for you to live by other people's perceptions. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." That's what He says about us right now. He didn't say that's going to happen when you clean up your act. He didn't say that's what's going to happen when you finally get all your ducks in a row, when you finally, you know, get all the sin out of your life and you finally start behaving right and you've got everything, you know, working for you and you're not messing up at all. That's not what that verse is written to, or who that verse was written to or about. That verse is written to you and I right now who are in Christ Jesus because we've made Him our Lord and Savior. He right now says that we're a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. The problem is we keep looking at ourselves the way we used to be and keep looking at ourselves, you know, from a human point of view with the eyes of flesh. And so we keep going back and living out of the old man. We keep living according to that old man that the Bible says has died with Christ. Instead of looking to who we are now in Christ and living out of that new man. Amen. That's where the victory is, Lord of God. Living out of the new man that you have already become. You know, God starts by giving us a new name. Throughout the Scriptures, God gave new names to replace old identities in order to reflect new realities. He changed people's names. Amen. And it's awesome to see Him do it. Some people have, you know, old realities because they have an old identity. God wants to give you a new name much bigger than who you are or what you deserve. Isaiah 62 verse 2 says, "And you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth." Whew! Talk about labels. Give me that. Huh? Forget about what all the other, what people have said about you, what they have labeled you. Give me the name, the new name, by the Lord's own mouth. You see, I'm at a place in my life where I love people, and pastors generally have the, most pastors have this desire to be liked. It's part of a pastor, most pastors' makeup. We like to be liked. We don't like it when our people hate us. Right? Isn't that odd? No, it's not at all. It's normal. We want to be liked. Why? We love you. We're laying down our lives for you. So it's nice to be liked in return. Right? So we want to be liked, but at the end of the day, really the only thing that matters is what God says about me. I had this conversation with my brother a couple weeks ago. I was telling Pastor Phil about it. He just turned 65 years old. All my siblings are much older than I am. And we got to talking, and I said, you know, I'm at the point in my life, I've actually been here for many years now, where I don't care what anybody else thinks. And that was a breakthrough for me because, like I said, I like to be liked. Most people like to be liked. But I got to the point in my life where the only thing that matters to me now is what God thinks about me. Now, I want everyone to like me, but you know what? I can't make anyone like me. If you like me, great. If you don't like me, I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can. But at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters to me is what does God think about me? Because at the end, He's the only one I answer to. I'm not going to stand before you or anyone else on the day of judgment. I'm going to stand before one. And the words I'm looking for are, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all I care about. So whether anyone agrees with what I've done with my life, whether they understand what I've done with my life, I'm sure some people thought Lori and I were crazy when almost 2 years ago we resigned our church in California and said, we're moving back to New England. What are you doing back there? You got a church back there? No. You have a job back there? No. Why are you moving all the way back to New England? Because God said. That's not normally the way things are done. Most of the time people line up a job and then they leave the job they're at to go to the new job they lined up. Yeah, but that's not what God said to do. Matter of fact, God told me, I'll tell you real simple, I don't even think I shared with this with Pastor Phil and Dan. God told me plain and simple, He said, a door is going to open for you in New England, but you have to be there in order for it to open. The door will not open while you're here in California. He said, you have to return to New England before that door will open. Is that what happened? That's exactly what happened. We returned to New England. We spent 14 months in Boston with the Del Turcos at IFC. Then God brought us out to the Berkshires. We had to be here for the door to open. In other words, we'd still be sitting in California. See? So some people probably thought, man, those rentals, they're crazy. Are they rich? They can just move across country without jobs and just go. No, we weren't rich. I mean, we're rich in God's eyes, but I mean, as far as money in our pocket, we've been walking on water for 2 years, man. At least when we lived in Boston, I could Uber in Boston and pay the bills that way, and Lori had a job. Now out here in the Berkshires, since we've been out here since Halloween last year, Lori's been working. I haven't even had a job. Because no one wants to hire someone that's going to be a pastor again. First question they asked me, you plan on going back into pastoral ministry? Yes, I do. Okay, well, I can do this job, though. I'll work both jobs, man. I'll work here. I'll be the hardest worker you've got here. Okay, but you're going back. You're going to be a pastor again someday, right? Yeah. Okay, thank you. We've been walking on water since we've been here. But God said no. Anyways, so I was telling my brother, I said, so that's all I care about. He said, all I care about is what God thinks about me. He said, man, you mean you don't have to be 65 years old to get that revelation? He said, I just got that revelation. He said, you already have it? I said, yeah, I've had it for years. He said, man, I'm happy for it. He said, it took me my whole life to get that revelation that the only thing I care about now is what does God think about me. But that's where we should live, right there. If you can live your life like that, thinking only about what He thinks of you, well, you're going to please a lot of people. You'll tick a few people off, too. And some people will hate you, but I believe more people will love you than hate you. Amen. If you're serious about doing what God said, do. Amen. So, He'll give you a new name by the Lord's own mouth. Abraham and Sarai became Abraham and Sarah. You know, remember what Sarai means? Before God changed her name to Sarah, it means contentious one. Whew! Go Abram. Abram was so glad when God changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Yes! Who wants to be married to a contentious one? There's enough contention in marriage without that being your wife's name. Contentious one. So, no, they became Abraham and Sarah, father and mother of many nations. Jacob, whose name meant trickster, deceiver, he became Israel, God's chosen ones. Simon, his name meant reed, wishy-wash, wishy-washy. The wishy-washy one, who did he become? He became Peter the Rock. Now, here's the cool thing about Peter. He became Peter the Rock, but it took him time to grow into his name. It took time to grow into his name. He became Peter before he denied the Lord three times. He wasn't so much of a rock then, was he? No, I never knew. I never knew. But see, that didn't change what his name was. And he eventually grew into his name, where eventually he just stand up and preach the gospel to thousands and come against the and stand up before the rulers and with boldness and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness and in faith and see miracles and signs and wonders. He grew into his name. Amen? But God changed his name, changed him from who he was. And I know the feeling. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, but I've grown into each of these. And I look back, some of our friends that were here Sunday night at the celebration service, they were with us when we first started in ministry back in 1990 in Worcester, Mass. And when I meet with them, when we still do lunch with these people and stuff, still have contact with our old friends, and I say, you know what, I just apologize to them. They say, what are you apologizing for? I'm saying, I'm apologizing, man, for the things I did when I was your pastor in 1990. Why are you apologizing? Did you do anything bad or sinful? No. It's just that I've grown so much in the last 27 years. And I look back at some of the things I did and I think, I really did that? No, I didn't really do that. No, you did that, Pastor. That was funny when you did that. And I'm like, funny? I'm embarrassed by it now. I did that? See, we're growing. And that's good. We're supposed to be growing, aren't we? So I'm still growing into my names. I'm still growing as a husband. I'm still growing as a father. My wife is still growing as a wife and as a mother and as a pastor. We're all still growing, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And you'll grow to your name too. Amen. More and more each and every day. Give yourself a break when the devil and other people try to criticize you and try to put you down. Just understand you're growing into yourself. You're growing into who you are, who God has called you. You may have done a lot of things wrong in your past and carry a lot of guilt, but God calls you forgiven. You hear me? He calls you forgiven. You may struggle with an ongoing sin and you don't like that sometimes you give in so quickly, but God calls you transformed. He calls you delivered. You may live daily with the hurts of your past. Maybe you were abused, or maybe you were the abuser and find it hard to overcome the difficulties of your past, but God calls you healed. He calls you restored in Jesus' name. It could be that you need to step up as a husband and a father. God's putting some Holy Ghost pressure on you to lead your family toward God's perfect will. And even though you don't feel ready, God calls you spiritual leader. He wants you to lead your household. Maybe as a mom you feel like a failure and you don't think you've done a good job with your kids, but God calls you a great and godly mom. God sees us in a good light. He is for us. Amen? And even though we don't see ourselves like that all the time, we need to understand that God doesn't see us the same way. Although God has given us great names and wants to see us grow into them, He wants you to know that He is for you and not against you. He has all the love. He has all the grace. He has all the patience to help you grow into your new name. He knows we have weaknesses. He knows we have shortcomings. We don't have to hide them from Him. But He still believes in us, and He will never give up on us. And I've seen that throughout my life, and I know you have too. He does not give up on us. He keeps working with us. He's patient. He's kind. He's long-suffering. And I am so grateful. So don't be overwhelmed by the greatness of your new name, by His Spirit. And through your diligence, you'll grow into your name. Now, not only does God give you a new name, but along with it comes a new future. You are not defined by your past. You are not defined by your past, but by your destiny. In Jeremiah chapter 29, Verse 11, one of my favorite scriptures says, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Hallelujah. I love that. You know, and a great example of that is the story of redemption. A lady mentioned 8 times in the Bible. I'm almost done, but I want to share the story with you. A lady mentioned 8 times in the Bible. 6 times she is identified with her profession as Rahab the prostitute. 8 times she's mentioned, 6 times she is mentioned as Rahab the prostitute. She had become a successful businesswoman running a profitable operation in the city of Jericho. You know the story. Many of you do. We know the story of Rahab and the 2 spies who went in to spy out the land of Jericho, and they came across Rahab. Rahab was curious about the God of the Israelites that she had heard about, and she hides the spies in her own home at great risk to herself. Matter of fact, we read about her curiosity in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. It says, this is Rahab speaking. She says, "No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things." The things she's talking about are of all the things that God has done. Understand, the people in Jericho, they heard about how God delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh and how he's part of the Red Sea and the signs and the wonders and miracles. So the people of Jericho heard about all this. So that's why Rahab is saying, "Our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God," she said, "is the supreme God of the heavens and above, and of the heavens above and the earth below." She knew about the God of the Israelites. And somewhere along the way, the God of Israel became the God of a prostitute. The God of Israel became the God of a prostitute. God gave Rahab a new hope and a new future, just like Jeremiah 29:11 says. And though most would not have believed that Rahab would have married well after being a prostitute, she did marry well. And the Bible tells us she did. She married a God-fearing man named Salmon and became the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus of Nazareth. Think about that. That just blows me away. Rahab the prostitute became the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Is that cool or what? That is cool. She went from Rahab the prostitute to great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. If God could put Rahab in the middle of the lineage of Jesus, as important as that lineage was, if he could put Rahab in the middle of the lineage of Jesus, holy cow, what could God do for you? Can I say holy cow? Okay, I just did. What could God do for you? Think about that. That's amazing. That's our God, man. That's why we can't put limits on him. It's time to throw off the labels and discover our new identity in Christ Jesus. Amen. Your potential is limitless in God. Who knows what you could become? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." No longer I who live. If you receive Jesus, this is you. The old has gone away, the new's come. Amen. We no longer need others to define who we are. Now we define who we are based on what God says. Don't worry about what other people say about you. What does God say about you? What does God call you today? Who does God think you are? Amen. And let's start aligning who we think we are with what God thinks we are. Even if it, you know, I remember a minister many, many years ago, back in the early days, when, I think even maybe even before they began in full-time ministry, but they said, you know, they had sin issues, like I was saying, we all have. And he said, God began dealing with him, saying, "Quit calling yourself a sinner and start calling yourself the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." And he said, you know, when I first started doing that, it was hard to do. Why? Because I saw the sin in my life every day. And so here I'm seeing the sin that I'm living in every day, but I'm calling myself the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus every day, and there was a conflict there. Paul talks about that conflict, the conflict between flesh and spirit. But he said, I kept calling myself that. And then the more I called myself the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the more it began to renew my mind and the more it began to transform me from the inside out until over time I began to see myself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I started to put away the sin. See, the problem with the church world most of the time is we tell people to straighten up and live right, but that's not how it works. Christianity is not from the outside in, it's from the inside out. You get a revelation of who you are on the inside, what God says about you on the inside, and eventually you'll begin to believe that. Eventually that dawns on your spirit, and eventually that begins to come out of you, and what God has put in you begins to work its way to the outside and transform your life. Whereas the church traditionally has said, you quit doing this, and you quit doing that, and you quit doing this, and you start behaving this way, and you stop doing that, and then you can be part of our church. That's not the way Christianity works. That's why when people come through this door that have more baggage than you have, greater issues than you have, and maybe they're outward issues, and maybe you can see all their baggage and you know all their issues, you know what? We're going to love them. We're going to love them. Why? Because that's what Jesus would do. What's Jesus going to do? No, you're not good enough. Come back go clean some things up, all right? Go take a shower. Quit doing this. Quit doing that. Quit doing this. And then come back maybe next Sunday. It's not how it works. You come on in. And you sit and you hear what Jesus did for you. Am I preaching to myself this morning? It's really quiet. So either maybe you're not agreeing with me, or maybe it's like, holy cow, I need to start thinking differently. Either way, it's all right. I know I came from a religious background. I grew up in a holiness church that didn't have the baptism with the Holy Ghost, so think how messed up I was. You try to live a holy life without the fullness of the Spirit? Good luck with that. I tried that for years. That's why I became a backslidden Christian as a young teenager. I fell away from God and said, you know what? My life is, pardon my language, I'm not trying to be crude, but my life was a living hell. Because this is what God told me I'm supposed to do. I got no power of the Holy Ghost to do that, to walk in it. I don't know anything about faith. I know nothing about the fullness of the Spirit. I know nothing about anything except these are my list of do's and don'ts over here. And I can't live up to it. So I was so miserable every day. I finally said, you know what? I can go back into the world and live like a sinner, live like my friends are living, and have no more condemnation than I already have right now. And my life not look any different. And that's what I did until God got a hold of me and said, son, there's something you've been missing. Led me to a church. Went to see Miss America. Miss America was going to be speaking at her home church in Colorado. So I went to see Miss America. I wasn't interested in God. I wanted to see Miss America. Why? I heard she was really pretty. I'm a young man. You put a pretty little lady on the pulpit and I'll come to church. So I came to church to see pretty Miss America. Man, little did I know, that service I was going to rededicate my life to Christ. The very next week, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, which was the missing ingredient in my life. And the third Sunday after that, I was singing in the church choir, where my wife spotted me. Oh, yeah. And when she first saw me singing in the choir, when she first saw me singing in the church choir, she said, I'm going to marry that man. Know what she told me? God told you, you're going to marry that man. And she didn't know anything about me. She also knew that she was going to marry a pastor. She didn't know who I was. She just saw me for the first time in church singing in the choir. God said, you're going to marry that man. So, whew, thank God for Miss America. Miss America set me on the right track, man. Got me where I needed to be with God. See, it doesn't matter how you get them to church, just get them to church. Huh? Tell them your pastor's crazy. Come watch him. Okay? Just get them in the door. And then let God deal with them. Let God work on them. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Oh, but But although, you know, I received Jesus years ago, and we, many of us, most of us have received Jesus years ago, it takes us years oftentimes to discover and grow into our new identity. But in order to learn who I am, I'm closing with this, I had to learn who I'm not. And here's the catch right here. You've got to know who you're not. Okay, I want to tell you today, you are not what others think about you. It might be the first time you've heard that. I don't know. And some of you might struggle with what other people think about you, but you need to know that. You are not what others think about you. You don't know what they said, Pastor. I don't care what they said. You are not what others think about you. You are not your past. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Leave it there. Don't let it define you. You are not your past. You are not what you did. But Pastor, you don't know what I did. Yeah, and I don't care what you did. I don't mean, and don't misinterpret that. That doesn't mean I don't care about you. I care about you and I love you, but I don't care what you did. All I care about is that under the blood, have you repented? Have you received forgiveness? If you have, I don't care what you did. And God doesn't care what you did, because the blood of Jesus was great enough and is great enough to wash it all away. Amen? Amen. And you are who God says you are. Whether you look like it today or not, whether you act like it today or not, you are who God says you are. If you walk out of here and 5 minutes after you leave church, you sin, doesn't change the fact that you are who God says you are. So the next time you sin, you just repent quickly, confess it, get it under the blood, and get back up on your feet and keep going. And if you got to do it 30 times in a day, if you got to do it 100 times in a day, then you do it 100 times in a day. Now, you might need to learn some things about, some things to help you, some things to help you grow spiritually and develop so that you don't have to do it 100 times a day. But if you got to repent 100 times a day, then you repent 100 times a day. And you don't wallow in your sin, and you don't make yourself do penance and not talk to God for a week and not come to church for a month. Just deal with it and get back up on your feet and get back where you belong. Amen. We're going to revisit some of these, but it's time to quit letting the labels define us and hinder us. Many of us have lived too long with the limitations of our labels. And God doesn't want you to live there anymore. God wants to radically change our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, just bow your heads for a moment as we close today. Father, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You, Father. Oh, that You don't see us for what we did. You don't see us for our past. You don't think of us the way other people think about us or the things that they've said about us. Father, You have given us a new identity in Christ Jesus. Father, I am so grateful. I am so grateful. We're not perfect people, Lord. We're all works in progress. But we thank You for Your unending love, Your mercy, Your grace. Oh, we're so grateful, Father, that You love us so much and that You see us. You see us not as we are, as we see ourselves, but You see us in Christ. You see us washed. You see us cleansed. You see us victorious. You see us, Father God, fulfilling all the potential that You have placed within us. Oh, Father, our future is bright if we could just see through Your eyes. So, Father, give us eyes to see like You see us. Give us eyes to see one another like You see us, Father God, that we will not see each other after the flesh, that we'll not know each other, Father, by in human ways, but we'll see the gold, and we'll look for the gold that is within each one of us, Father God, the potential that lies within us, the identity that You have given us, Father, that we might walk according to that, and that we might grow, and that we might increase in our stature with You, Father, and grow to overcome sin, and grow to be an even greater blessing, Father, to those around us than we've already been, Father. Father, for these that are here today, I pray for each one, Father, that they'll have a revelation of that new identity. And Father, if there's anyone here today,